Hallelujah. If I can find my place here. You know, when you're looking with one eye instead of two, it takes longer. That's right. Amen. And they, after verse 10, say, this is the covenant I will make with, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens, saying to his brother, know the Lord, for all shall know me. For all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will be remember their sins no more. In other words, he's going to wipe out, he's going to blot out the sins. And he's going to not only blot out the sins, but see, iniquity is different from sin, and iniquity is what sin springs out of. It's a character trait. It's that thing that's within us. It's a stronghold that's within us that creates the sin. It's that propensity for sin. And so he says, I'm going to deal with the iniquity. I'm going to take care of the sin, but I'm going to deal with the iniquity where the sin came from. And see, this is the part of the promise that we have in him. Why? Because I won't remember it no more. It's so important to him that he says it two chapters later in chapter 10. He says it again about the iniquities and the sins. He's just going to release it. He's not going to remember it. That's important for us. Because see, one of the things about the right hand that we've learned about the right hand, probably the greatest thing about the right hand that we need to understand is this access that we have to a living God. Because until we understand that access that we have to a living God, we're not actually approaching the way we need to approach. But when we understand this access that we have to a living God, the freedom that we have to come to him, why? Because he's already set aside your sins. He's already set aside the iniquities. All those tendencies towards a sin even, he's already dealing with it. And because he's dealing with it, he can draw near to you. And he's already drawing near to us. He positioned himself next to you. But as he positions himself next to you, he's given you the ability to position yourself next to him. That's what we're working on in our belief system. I want to mention this verse, but go with me real quickly to John. I believe it's in John 15. I'll let you know when I get there. John 14. Hallelujah. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these, because I go to the Father. John 14:12. Now, there's what you need to understand now, that is that we've read that, but we don't really necessarily understand what he's looking for here. Because greater works that we shall do, but he says, if you will believe. If you'll believe, greater works. That is the reason that the enemy comes so hard at your belief system. Because if you'll believe the way he believed, you're going to do even greater works than he did. If you'll believe the way Jesus believed, if you'll allow God to work in you in such a way that your belief system gets lined up with his belief system, now we've got something that we can go forth, and the enemy is terribly afraid that you will understand that authority, you'll understand that power, and you'll use it to wreck his kingdom. Amen. I want to look at some kingdom wreckers here. We want to be kingdom wreckers here. Because why? Because why? We're choosing to believe. And if we'll choose to believe, we can already recognize that we have the ability to come to the Father, and we can be a wrecking ball to the kingdom of darkness. The light can actually shine out of people who will believe what God has said about them. When we'll believe the authority he's placed within us, when we'll believe that he's within us and he's for us. And suddenly we don't have to be afraid of the darkness. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness. You can peel away from those things because, see, he has something for you. He has an authority he's already released to you. And it's up to us just to receive it. Well, that's what that verse is telling us. All we have to do is receive it with our belief system. Let our belief system get reorganized. Because, see, what you believe can greatly affect what you do. If all I do is simply believe that I'm a failure, I'm going to live out that failure. If I believe that I'm a son of God, I'm going to live out the son. When I start living out of the son, now things that weren't possible become possible. When I start living out of the reality of righteousness, suddenly now my whole attitudes and my whole heart can be shifted away from whatever was to whatever's supposed to be. See, that's the thing, is that sometimes it's real easy for us to get caught up in what I've done. We get caught up in our past instead of seeing who He created us to be. When we understand and embrace who we are created to be, that is when the power and authority come online for you. That's when we step into the grace. We're stepping out of law. We're stepping into the power of grace. And in that power of grace, we already have authority over sin. But in that power of grace, we also have the authority to achieve what He's already called us to achieve. It's an awakening in our heart by shifting our belief system. Sometimes we have hidden things in our belief system that we don't even understand. All we know is we have an action. I remember when I was coaching baseball, I would be, and if I was on the baseball field, I would be fine. But if any remote time that I had to get up and I had to walk across the stands, and I'd be walking across the stands, and it was for me, it was horrible to walk across because I would feel exposed and violated. And this happened, and this happened over and over again. And I mean, it's like I would do whatever I could to not have to go into the stands because I didn't like that feeling. But it came out of a belief system. Because, see, I was violated as a child, and I was feeling that same violation coming upon me. And when the Lord, then one morning I was praying, and the Lord just showed me. He showed me the things that I had chosen to forget. And he showed me how much He loved me and valued me in spite of those things. And I never had that issue again. The next day, I walked across those same stands doing those same things, and I had a little bag of peanuts, and I realized after all this time of these people violating me, they weren't even looking at me. They weren't paying no attention to me. And I took a couple more steps and I thought, you know what? I'm important. They should be paying attention to me. So I started reaching into my peanuts and I started chunking them at people and made them look at me. I might be getting overly free, but I was free, I can tell you. But here it is. If God had healed all that, I couldn't be here in front of you. If He hadn't healed it, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing. But see, He fixed my belief system so that I could do what I'm called to do. He healed our belief system. And that's what his goal is to heal our belief system, to unlock the potential that's within us, to unlock the destiny that He has for us. It's all there. All He's looking for is a place of surrender in our hearts. Did I have any understanding that morning when I woke up that God was going to do that? I did not. Did I even understand it was a problem? Not really. It always bothered me. It always affected me. But I didn't even look at it as something to even be prayed for. But God knew what He needed to do in order to set me on a course where I'm going. Hallelujah. He's doing the same thing for you. He's making you into a kingdom wrecking ball, so that you can wreck the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. He's going to choose. He's choosing you. See, and He's not worried. He's not concerned about what your past looks like. See, He took that little piece of my past that was controlling so much of my... I mean, I almost failed, debate class. I had to take a debate class. They forced me to take a debate class. They said, all these smart kids got to take debate class. I didn't want to do that. I had to get up in front of people. It wasn't that I didn't know the material. I knew the material. I just didn't want to say nothing. But you see, he knows how to unlock those things. He knows how to unlock it. So that little piece of my past can never control me anymore. Your iniquity and your sin, he's going to remember no more. You know what? I got good news. It wasn't just yesterday's iniquity and sin. It's tomorrow's too. So, not that you plan on going out and doing it, but he's already provided for it. Amen? That's not an excuse to go do it. That's a place to rejoice because he set me free from it. I don't have to be controlled by those things anymore. I don't have to be controlled by what was a past action. I don't have to be controlled by that. Why? Because he's setting my belief system in the right order. But most importantly, he's setting my belief system in the right order towards the Father. Towards the Father. Go with me to 1 John 3. Because see, when I believe correctly about the Father, I can step into the correct attitude about today. I can step into a correct attitude about who I am. I can step into a correct attitude about who my brother is. Damn. There you go. I mean, if I can step into a correct attitude about this. Wow. Hallelujah. We know, 1 John 3, verse 14, we know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. See, the disciples shall be known by their what? Love one for another. That's why a disciple is known. We can know that we've stepped out of we've stepped out of the old nature into our new nature. We've stepped out of death into life. What did John 17:3 say that it is, that life is? It says life is to know the Father and the Son. That's eternal life. I can step out of death and into life. I can step out of my old nature into my new nature. And that is the sign, because the sign that follows that is that I'm also now able to love my neighbor. I'm able to love my neighbor. Why? Let me skip to you to the end real quick, and then we'll come back and diagnose. Go to 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If the Lord can come into my life and begin to shift my understanding about himself so that I can start receiving the love that he has, and as I receive the love that he has, he's also speaking into my life, and so now I can begin to release the love that he has for someone else. But I can love because he first loved me. It's really impossible to love somebody truly until you are loved. Because you can't give away something you don't have. So many marriages let me just put it in context. Put the truth out here. And when I got married to Kim, it was all about me. It was about how she made me look good. It was how she made me feel good. It was about, in other words, that's not love. It might be lust, but it's not love. It was selfishness. It wasn't love. But see, what God is beginning to do, he just took all that and he began to open my heart so that now I could experience real love, and so that I could release something, something that comes out of heaven towards her. And now out of that, there's a nurture that begins to happen. There's a calling forth that begins to happen. There's an input that begins to happen that couldn't happen other way, because before, when we started, it was all about me, getting all I can get. So, in other words, there are some, I mean, and you've probably, there are some people that you can walk by and they kind of glam onto you, and you can feel it's like an emotional vampire. Okay? That's not love. You know how icky that feels when somebody does that to you? We need to have our heart. See, that can't happen. If I'm in love and in a relationship of love, then what I'm looking to do is be a blessing to this person, even you. Because see, why? Because there's an abundance in your heart now that's generating, and it just overflows simply because you're here. Because we choose to engage what God is for each person around us. And, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm no jesting towards Tim, to be honest with you, there's some people who are easier to love than others, okay? There's some people who are just, you know, because there are some people who are just, you know, it's like approaching a prickly cactus. It's not necessarily fun. but if you'll take the time and find your way past the thorns, and you release your love, sooner or later that love is going to have a release back to you. We love because God first loved us. We love because it's the evidence of the shift that we've had from the old nature to the new nature. We love because it's His desire to express Himself to the world through you. There was a lady who wanted a divorce, and she saw this counselor, and she said, "I don't want to just divorce him. I want to ruin him. I want revenge." So this counselor looked at her and said, "Okay, here's what we do." He said, I want you to put a sneak attack on him. I want you to love him with everything in you. I want you to serve him. I want you to do everything you can possibly do for him to make his life wonderful for the next 2 months." And she said, and then he said, "He'll never see it coming." I said, then you serve him a divorce and he'll just be totally ruined and crushed. And so, In the midst of this, she began doing that, and he began responding. He began changing, and he began doing it. And so after 2 months, she didn't call back. The counselor didn't call back. She didn't call back, and finally the counselor called her and said, Are you going to follow through with your divorce?" And she said, "No, he's treating me like a newlywed." Why? Because what was in her had begun to flow out for him, and he was now responding to what was flowing out of her, and now you have this synergy going on where two hearts are actually engaged in loving one another instead of hating. And something wonderful was rebirthed. Because see, love's not an emotion, okay? There is an emotional component, but it's so much more than an emotion. It's a spiritual force that changes things. It's a spiritual force that is a wrecking ball into the kingdom of darkness. We release, as we release this love, we're releasing change into people's lives. We're releasing new hope and new possibility into people's lives. Not because we did something to try to do it, but simply because it's overflowing out of us and we can't even help ourselves. You can do more accidentally when you allow love to overflow in you than you could have ever done just by standing on a corner and preaching. I'll get on a soapbox for just a second. Give me 20 seconds. I've seen people standing on the corner outside the bus stop, yelling and screaming at the people, repent, 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 repent. Guess what? There's no love there. There's no chance for that to ever work. It's not going to change anybody's life. It's just foolishness. We change. People are touched by the love in us. They're changed by the love in us. They're not going to be changed by somebody screaming repent from the street corners. We need to not be misguided. We need to allow God to move through us. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death. We know this love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Not just in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And we look at that, oftentimes we look at that and we get into works with it. But let me just say this. What's John 6:29 say? The work of heaven is to believe. The work of heaven is to believe. This word here is the same word that he used in that phrase. So if we're going to do something, we're going to do it in deed, in truth. In other words, we're going to believe and have truth. When we believe the truth, that means we're allowing the truth of God to rest in our heart. That means we're allowing our belief system to be ironed out and straightened out and brought into order. That's the most important part, because there's two things that we need to believe, okay? We need to have this place of faith. We need to have a place of belief in our heart, but we also need to believe that the Father is well intended towards us. Because that's our access, that's our ticket into Him. And that is because that's our ticket into Him. That's the thing that allows us to be shifted, because no longer are we looking at ourselves, but we're looking at His destiny. Because when we look at love, when we're looking at the Father, we're looking at love. Because He is love. When we're looking to know Him, now we can become like Him. One of the exercises I do is to look from all the corners of my eyes, like this down, straight down, straight out, straight toward, straight up. But sometimes I use my finger, right, to do that. So I try not to spend a whole lot of time just looking at myself, but. If we get too self-focused, we're missing the point too, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. We needed a joke in there. That was the best I could come up with. Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, let us believe and hang in the truth. Let the truth become that which guides us. Let us not be into a place of works, but let us get into a place of faith. Because as we get into a place of faith, that's where we get changed. I can tell you that there's some wonderful things that we can do. We can do some many mighty wonderful things. When Harvey came and we were all over the city, this house was all over the city helping people, there were some wonderful things that got done. Okay? But I can tell you, all of that doesn't actually change who you are. As many wonderful things as we got involved with, it doesn't change our heart. You can do right things for somebody out of a wrong heart. Believe me, I've done it. Don't look at me like that, Victory. I've done it too often. Because, see, if you're doing something for somebody and it's out of anything but love, it's the wrong motive. If I'm doing it, if I'm only serving them so that they will come and serve me or they will acknowledge me, I'm missing the point. But if I serve somebody simply because I want them to experience Jesus, they can experience love. They can have a visitation of the Father. Now that's got a whole different atmosphere that it carries with it. You can change a whole situation simply because you're carrying an atmosphere with you when you bring it with love. It's so much easier to allow an atmosphere to affect you. But when we carry the atmosphere with us, we can change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. So, we shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. And whatever, verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep his commandment. What's this commandment? And this is his commandment, verse 23, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The two things that we got going on here. We believe in the name. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the cause of Christ. We believe in the message of Christ. We believe in the things that he's already placed in our hearts so that we can release. So we can release out of this place of faith. So that we can love our neighbor. Justin taught last Wednesday, right? Well, last Wednesday he taught a message on just coming alongside Haiti and coming alongside his wife, and it was an awesome message. And basically, but it was a journey of learning and exploring how to love. It was a journey of how we got from where we were to where we are. And that's the same journey we're on as Christians because, see, we are the bride of Christ. And we want to be calling out the rest of the bride of Christ and calling her up and calling her in and calling her over and calling her higher and moving her higher and calling and lifting her up and causing her to bloom and to blossom through love. It's the main important part of what we're doing. And once that happens, now God can begin releasing into that something that builds even better. He releases over us because, you know, I haven't lost that desire for that fire. I'm going to see the revival. I'm going to see hearts just changed and melted. I want us to be ready. So that when all the hearts around us are melting, we're able to just scoop it up and bring it to present it to him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. I want you to understand, 1 John 3, 1 John 4, it's all one thought about the love. It's all one thought about the love. We see it and we read it as different things, but he's still talking about one topic as he was still going through here. He's releasing some things. Let's just jump down. We'll skip through. She already covered verse 4 for you earlier, okay? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know what that means? It means if we're not loving, there's only one reason. We don't know him. That went over like a lead balloon. If we're not loving, if we're not acting in love, there's only one reason. That's because we don't know the Father. Because we don't know the one who is God. If we truly know the one who is God, that nature that's in him will be flowing out of us. Back to John 17:3, eternal life is to know God and know the Father and the Son. We want to know him as we know him, as we know him, as we're going to, number one, we're going to know the love that we are being given. In that moment that I spoke about earlier, when I began to recognize this love that was being given to me, this acceptance that was being given to me in a place where I did not feel acceptable. But when I know, because I became to know him and his love in that moment, it forever changed my moment. And I don't have to respond to that moment anymore. I don't have to look at that and go, it's nothing. It's something I can tell you about. And there's no shame attached to it. There's no nothing attached to it. It's just an event that happened, kind of like it happened to somebody else instead of me. See, I can do that because why? Because his love touched me in this place. And when his love touches us, it changes us. It doesn't matter what your situation was. It doesn't matter what your situation might even be today. His love is there to touch you. His love is there to change this moment. His love is there to awaken you. Because if we'll know him, we're going to receive that love, and then we're going to be able to reflect that love. Sometimes we've gotten used to certain things in our lives that weren't love. We tolerated certain things. But this is a season where that which was tolerated in past seasons is not going into the current season. That's why when Ruth speaks about being in the middle of the river and we're waiting in the middle of the river, that's what the purpose of it is so that as the river flows by, it's releasing us from those things. I think I spoke this the other day, but when David was passing away and he was passing the baton to Solomon, there were situations he told Solomon to deal with. Because why? Because Joab, for example, Joab had been dishonoring the throne. But in the past season, it was allowed. But in the new season, it couldn't come through. Then there was another brother who felt he was entitled to be the next king. And Solomon cut that off by his father's command. Because again, it couldn't be tolerated in the new season. It would have been creating a continual conflict with the new season. It would become a continual conflict in the kingdom. So there are some things that the Lord's going to deal with as we shift out of this phase and into another phase. But you can bet you every part of your heart on that it's going to come as an effect of his love. Not out of, you know, sometimes people want to prophesy an Old Testament, utter destruction, and it doesn't have to happen that way. We don't have to be crushed to be promoted. We can allow love to move us into promotion. We can allow love to remove the thing that can't come into this season and allow it to cause us to flourish in a new season. You know, sometimes people preach that you gotta, you know, that you've gotta just be crushed and in order to be humbled. But you know what? Humility is a choice. It's a characteristic. It's a choice that you make. You can humble yourself even in an exalted place. You don't have to be crushed to be humbled. You can allow the love of God to move you into that place of humility. Because the most humble you're going to be is when you see what God sees. I can remember one morning, I can tell you this was extremely humbling, because one morning I'm just getting my clothes out of the closet, right? Kim's still in bed, and all of a sudden he just shows me how he sees her. He shows me how he sees her as this queen. And I just started just weeping because I knew I hadn't always treated her as that queen. I hadn't regarded her as that queen. And it just started, I mean, it just melted my heart. But it was just an overflow of his love. But in the overflow of his love, I could suddenly see the way he saw Aubrey. I could see how he was seeing. And when I did, it just melted my heart and it changed my way. See, God can promote you through his love. He can humble you through his love. We don't always have to do it the hard way. I mean, that was the most peaceful, wonderful, a little scary, but because believe me, in that moment, I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, I'm sorry, because I didn't see. And then I went to her and repented to her. I was like, this is what he just showed me. I was like, baby, you got to wake up. You're a queen, and I haven't been treating you as a queen. She was far more gracious than normal when she got woke up that way. Hallelujah. 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 I think I'm going to leave that one alone. I can tell you, it was probably one of the most humbling things I've ever experienced. But it was the love of God being poured over the situation. It was the love of God awakening something in me that I needed to see. It changed me, and it changed our relationship, because it caused me to understand what he was trying to achieve, what he was calling forth. Hallelujah. For by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God came in a place of grace and revealed grace to us. The love of God came and revealed this Savior to us, and he revealed the mercy, the absolute mercy of the Father, but he also set us on a course of grace, because there's no way that we could do this on our own. It was going to require some empowerment from on high. And grace is that empowerment to fulfill what God has called us to do. Mercy is that thing that we didn't deserve, because he called us out of the yuck and brought us into and lifted us up. As he lifted us up, he gave us an empowerment to sustain it and to carry it forth. To be able to see ourselves not out of the shadow of the past, but to see ourselves out of the light of what he's calling us into. It's his heart to reveal his love to us, to reveal his grace in us. There's nothing that's going to cause you to go faster than to recognize the grace that you've already received. When I see the mercy and grace that he's done to me, When I see the mercy and grace he's done for others. But even if there's nothing I can do to repay him for what he's already done for me. But I can live for him. I can let him be a reality in me so others can actually have something to see. Amen? Amen. Glory. Shadadaba. Shandadadaba kada. Beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. And if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And we beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior. So your actions are bearing witness. Your life is bearing witness. It's bearing a testimony. We should look different than our neighbor. Our neighbor should look at us and go, "What is up with you? You're different." Not weird, just different. We need to be different. We need to be a reflection of something they've never seen. I mean, I heard, I don't remember now, but anyway, he got on a plane and there was a lady who was sitting there with a child, and he was like the third person on the plane, and he sat down next to the person with the child. She said, "Sir, why would you do that?" He said, "Because Jesus saved me." And he said, "If I go sit as far away from this child as I can sit, you know, there's going to be somebody who has to sit next to you that's not going to be happy about sitting next to this child." He said, "But Jesus saved me. His love is in me, and I love you, and I love this child. And I'm okay with it. It's not going to bother me what this child does during this trip." And immediately she just started weeping. And the child got out of her lap and climbed into his lap and stayed there and fell asleep for the duration of the flight. Why? Because Jesus was present. See, that's living your life. Not because he was trying to impress somebody with, "See the Jesus in me?" Wow. But because he was just being there for them in a tangible way, solving a problem for them that they hadn't even started to expect yet. See, that's selfless. When love starts coming up in us, it causes us to be selfless. When it causes us to be selfless, it changes how we respond to our environment. And it's causing others to be able to have that effect in their life. And we're no longer having to hold on to ours and you know, try to be tight-fisted with what's going on in our life. We can just be releasing to someone else. Why? Because why? Because our whole thing is now about the kingdom instead of about self. Hallelujah. This is not only something that we can preach. It's something that we can live if we'll challenge ourselves to it. If we'll each challenge ourselves to it. Everybody has a different area of a different sphere of influence. You have a sphere of influence where you can go. Tammy, you're over there at the hospital. You got an awesome place of influence. As you take that place of influence, just shine a little light. Shine a little light. Shine a light. Shine a light. Yeah, don't start me. We'll go back to Samaritan woman. Inside joke, sorry. Hallelujah. Whoever confesses that Jesus, and that means acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we've come to know and to believe the love which God has for us. That's the thing that it's all about. When I believe the love that God has for me, George, now I can begin releasing love. If I believe that love, I'm no longer limited by what my resources are. I can begin operating out of kingdom resources. That's important. If I believe this love, I no longer have to hold on to my past or hold on to my present, I can begin looking and stepping into what's coming. God has something for us, individually, but also corporately. Let's step into it. Let's step into it. It's His call on our lives is greater than our understanding. His call on this house is greater than our understanding. His call that He's looking, what He wants to release in this nation, but He wants to release something here in Houston, Texas. He wants to release something that's greater than our understanding. Let's open our heart. Father, come. Father, come. I want you to just feel the ripple of that, because I can see it. Father, come. See, there was a revival, and that was the simplicity of it. Father, come. Because when we accent Him, when we highlight Him, and we're no longer about self, He can inhabit that space. When He inhabits that space, when we make room for Him, it shifts atmospheres. It makes possible the impossible. Father, come. The word also goes on in verse 18 to say that perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. Guess what? When you're in a fullness, a full-fledged love affair with the Father, there's no place for torment. Because the only thing that can really truly cause torment is being separated from Him. And when you know, but you know that you're not separated from Him, there's a confidence that comes with that that releases you from all torment. Torment's not about what's going on around you. Torment's what's going on inside you. There's been people who've been tortured in Chinese prisons, but inside them they had this life of Christ that would not quit. They had the love of Father that would not stop. And they couldn't beat it out of them because it was in them. And that eventually changed the entire jail that they were in. Father, come. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Father, we were with you, and you're with us, and we're aware now, and our belief system is being aligned. And as it's aligned, Lord, your love flows in us and through us. God bless you.